Ladies and gentlemen, we are here. We are live, the Sports Detention Podcast. We are back. Potty, back in studio.
Hello, world. Lovely to see you. It's been a couple of weeks since you've actually seen us.
Mate, the Robert Allenby Studios has been just idling.
Yep.
Idling, and now we're here. We're ready to go, ready to unleash.
Yep, we are ready to go, mate. But before we jump into it, how are you, mate?
Being crook as a dog,
you
mate.
You being crook, mate, yeah. I mean,
I feel like pure shit, if you ask me the truth.
Yep, well, and we like the truth here. I mean, I was going to say that Sonny Liston back here on our artwork looks in better shape than you felt over the last week, mate. You've been through the ringer.
Yeah, well, I'm upright, but my conscious state is probably about the same. But anyway, we're going to keep powering through. Enough of my misery pit. Potty, how you been, mate?
Being good, mate. Being good. Lots of footies back, mate. Yeah, so it's fantastic. Just in my element.
Yeah, but also to the fans, the listeners, they've been asking us what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, it's been carnage out in podcast world. They've been, you know, just wondering what's happening with the boys.
Yeah.
We're back.
Never fear.
Yes. Mate, what's caught your eye?
First things first, mate. Raise the bat.
Mm.
50 shows.
This 50 shows, mate. It's in not a bad little knock.
Yeah, nice little knock. We haven't made the century yet. We're not running into the crowd doing a big David Warner leap yet or anything like that, mainly because I think I would tear a hamstring.
Mm.
But, 50 shows. So thanks for joining with.
Just a little acknowledgement of the pavilion. You
know, tip of the hat.
Mm.
Look, if I ever got a 50 in cricket, I'd be going ballistic. Let's call a spade a spade. But
well, people would say that we got the yips there because basically we're on 49 not out.
That's
and
right.
Grego went down like a sack of potatoes.
That's right. You know.
But anyway.
Anyway, and thanks to the listeners and the viewers. Thanks for sticking by us.
Absolutely, and we'll be here for a lot more,
yeah.
You know, regardless if we've got listeners or not.
Yeah, we're the umpire, so, you know, we're not getting out. Anyway, enough of the cricket analogy. Something that all has also going on too long, mate, here for my money anyway, is a Canadian woman has just recorded the world's longest abdominal plank.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, whenever I'm doing a little bit of exercise, doing a little bit of ab work, trying to tone up for summer or whatnot, you know.
Yeah.
2 minutes. Dead set, and I'm in
throw
all
a bit of plank. Couple of sets, 1 minute on, 1 minute off.
That's you know exactly what it is, right. Yeah. 4 hours, 19 minutes, and 55 seconds.
Has she not got anything better to do?
I was going to say, that was my first reaction.
What
mate.
Is
like,
going
why?
On? 4 hours?
Why would you do it? Mm. I mean, I get it. Get in the Guinness, get in the world record, you know, set a world record. I mean, it didn't work out too well for the gentleman we were speaking about the other week who built the paddle pop stick.
Yes,
off
yes,
tower,
yes. He didn't check the bylaws.
Yep, that's right. But, you know, well done. Well done. You're sports detention royalty, but I've honestly got to say, dear, oh dear. I mean, if she'd done it like Uncle Chen.
She's having a couple of durries.
Yeah, and, shifting off just to light one up, you know, that's something even more impressive, isn't it?
Look, I'm a bit concerned because, you know, Justin Trudeau, what are you doing to the Canadian people? I mean, you're punishing them so much that their best option is just to hold the plank position for 4 hours.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I
don't mean to get political at all.
No, I will. Let's just chuck it in there. I mean, you know, to practice for that, you're either got a very flexible work environment or you're just not working.
Yes.
Because, you know, I don't know how that would go in our industry, Gregor.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I've probably seen people planking for 4 hours in my industry in the teaching game.
But
they haven't been meaning to do it.
No. Right, mate, right. Next, what's caught my eye? The Oscars.
Yes.
Yeah. We love it when there's always something that goes down at the Oscars. I mean, obviously, we remember Will Smith a few years ago. Nice big slap to Chris Rock.
Yeah.
And that, you know, 10-year ban, but he'll be back.
So he's got a 10-year ban from the Oscars.
I think he got a 10-year ban from the Oscars. He went on later
the judiciary,
that night.
He went to the Oscars judiciary and they've slapped him with 10 years.
They've slapped him with 10 years. Lucky he didn't get slapped with 10 years for assault, but, we won't go there. And a lot of big winners there. Cillian Murphy picked up Best Actor.
Yep.
Emma Stone, Best Actress, you know, that's her second gong, I think, so well done to you. But Oppenheimer, you know, picks up.
Haven't seen it, mate. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it
yet. No, it's definitely, I don't know if it's just that Oscars little jab it gives you. You know, when the big movies come through the Oscars and you go, oh, geez, I probably should see that. But I think Oppenheimer, the story behind it, I think it'd be an interesting one to check out.
Oh, it'd be great. I just don't have a spare 7 hours. So,
that's true.
It's a tough, with young family, it's a tough egg to crack. I'm just ducking down the movies for 7 hours.
Yeah, that's one of the things too, because then you go, well, look, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to wait for it to come on telly.
Mm.
And then not only have you got the 7 hours, but then you've got at least 45 minutes of ads.
That's right.
I mean, come on.
Yep.
That's a weekend.
Not happening, mate. But it got me thinking about some of the great Oscars pitches of all time.
What? Oh, we're thinking we've got a question here.
Okay. Yeah. What?
Rightio, mate. What do you got? What is the question?
So, as I was talking about best picture, Oppenheimer wins. And so it got me thinking of some of the great movies of all time. So the question is, top five greatest movies that have won at the Oscars.
Okay.
Now, Greg, I'm going to throw these at you in random order, one at a time, and you are going to order them for
me. So this is subjective on Grego. It's not, there's no ranking that.
Yeah. Well, look, your word is as good as, you know.
Yeah, well,
that's right. Okay. As far as I'm concerned, this is now the list.
Okay.
Are you ready for it, mate? And I picked ones that I'm fairly sure you would have seen or at least heard of. So
no worries.
We're going to go with that. The Hurt Locker. Yep. So
I'm going to go five.
Number five, The Hurt Locker. Because
they're going to be good.
There you go. You're going to be okay. Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, fuck. Should have. Yeah. Four.
Number four. All right. Here we go. Okay. So, The Departed.
Oh. Two. It's got to be. That's a cracker. Two.
Isn't that a cracker?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you made an error here. But anyway.
Okay.
Okay. Next, Chicago.
Chicago?
The musical.
Oh. Three.
Oh, number three.
And that's offensive to Slumdog Millionaire.
It is offensive to Slumdog Millionaire. And, mate, the final one. Speaking of 7 hours, The English Patient.
Oh, my glob.
I've stitched you up.
It's going to be a two.
Oh, the mate, poor old Hurt Locker's not looking real bad here.
The Hurt Locker, put that at number two. And The Departed.
Oh,
I'm gutted. Yeah. This is a stitch up.
Oh, I have stitched
this
up.
This is a stitch up. Now, the great Goxie. Goxie always came out with that skit about the stitch up.
Yeah.
Now, you've just placed yourself in the public eye on TikTok and you've had your pants pulled down with a movie list. And you've come out here on our podcast and you've put me on show to the public.
Buddy. I have, mate. I have. I'll put you on show. I'll tell you what, though, just for the listeners and viewers out there, if you haven't seen The Departed, oh,
it's a cracker.
That is a movie.
Matt Damon, Jack Nicholson, Leo.
Martin Sheen.
Oh, and what's his?
Mark Wahlberg. Alec Baldwin.
Oh, mate, the cast.
It just goes on
it's
and
so
on.
So good. I mean, Mark Wahlberg's role in that. That's where he changed. Everybody went, shit, he's a top-notch actor.
That's right. Yeah. Top-notch.
He went from Marky Mark of the Funky Bunch to Hollywood there.
And let's not forget, Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
The absolute, come on, like.
Oh, mate.
Yeah. Absolute ripper. So, mate, I've stitched you up there, but.
It was good. Yeah. I liked it. Well done. Rightio. Now, what has caught my eye? Rihanna, mate. Speaking of superstars.
Mm.
Now, have you come across this article about Rihanna? Well, so, Rihanna's been paid a little cashy. She's gone out for a little side gig.
Mm.
$9 million for this performance. Yet, however, she has been lambasted and thrown under the bus for a lack of effort during this performance. Now, a billionaire has hired, so I believe it's an Indian billionaire. Yes, Mukesh Ambani has hired Rihanna to come and perform at his son's, I believe it's wedding. Wedding? It wasn't a birthday. I believe it was a wedding. Yes, so a 1,200 guest wedding.
Yeah, this was 1,200.
Now, some of the guests, now this is where you start to go, well, a father getting one of the greatest singers to perform at his wedding. I mean, if you're a billionaire, you're going to do it. You're going to give your son what he wants.
Yeah.
However, when you look at the guest list, and the guest list contained people such as Disney CEO Bob Iger, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, Ivanka Trump.
Oh, yes.
It suddenly becomes a bit more of a networking exercise, this wedding.
Yeah.
So it's a little less wedding, a little more business party. So the tax write-offs would have been flowing.
Oh, mate.
So, million. But anyway, if you go through the performance, Rihanna's obviously, she's turned up and just gone, well, I'm getting paid regardless.
Yep.
And this isn't my crowd.
No.
You know, this isn't my gig. And I'm just gonna clock in, clock out, and cash me check.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Rihanna's copped a bit of heat for that one. What do you think on that? What are your thoughts actually more so on, you know, billionaires paying shitloads of money for, you know, artists to come and perform for them and then getting upset?
Look. First of all, I'd do it if $9 million was nothing to me. I'd be getting, the fooies would be in left, right, and
center. How good would it be? Speaking of the stitch up, you get Rihanna out there, and she turns up, and you just go, "Oh no, here's your check. You're not needed.
Yeah, you're not needed. Just join in. Just come and enjoy the wedding. Yeah, open bar. Look, you know, I think it'd be interesting. You'd have to see the performance. I mean, how lackluster was it? I mean, was it a 5-star performance and they're just critics and they've just come out and just said, look.
Did she just do every song except for Umbrella? They've all left upset.
Yep. Well, I would. I'd have been calling it. We've spoken about the great Darryl Braithwaite here before, mate.
If he's not doing horses.
No, that's right. If you pay for him to come to a wedding, it's like, mate, on repeat. Yep. That's all we're after. Mm. Look at... I'm going to say you paid $9 million. If you want a bagger, bagger.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a part of the entry fee.
That's right. I don't think she's losing much sleep over it.
No. Oh, she might have had a rough sleep on that private jet back
to
the States.
Tough one. Just buy another one.
Another thing that's caught my eye, and it's caught, obviously, we've been off for a bit now, but Sam Kerr. Now, yep. Sam Kerr, this whole thing here, and I'm not going to dive into the ins and out of it, because it's only just caught my eye. And what's caught my eye is, ladies and gentlemen, let's just take a deep breath and come to terms with the fact that Sam Kerr might just actually be a flog. Can we do that?
Yeah.
You know, like, she's a hero
to
a lot of young Australian football fans, especially female football fans.
Yep.
However, when you hear the reports that are coming out and you hear the nature of the world that we live in, and, you know, allegedly she was on the lash.
Mm.
It's just sometimes you just got to come to the conclusion and go, hey, she might just be a flog.
Could be.
There we go. Yep. Done. Let's just tie it up, throw it in the bin. That'll do. Moving on.
Yep. Yep. Oh, yep. I like it.
All right, mate. Well, enough of that. Footy time. Let's do it.
The Rugby League final was a big Wembley occasion.
Oh, get that in here. Oh, Potty, what do you reckon, mate? Round two, how did it look for you?
Oh, footy time, mate. So there were some great matchups over the weekend, and, you know, blow my own horn here, 7 from 8.
Ooh, that's good.
I was pretty happy with that one. The one I was most happy with was I was very confident that the Dolphins were going to do a number on the Dragons. I thought the Dragons might have been giving themselves a few pats on the back. I thought the Dolphins, Wayne Bennett, I don't think he would have had to say much, but I was expecting a very, very good performance from them.
I picked the Dolphins, the Dragons, and I regret it.
Yep. Oh, well, what can you do, mate? What can you do? Yeah, but a lot else happening. Obviously, you know, the big one for us.
The big one. Oh, the Battle of the West.
The Battle of the West.
What's your headline, mate?
Battle of the West. Panthers win. I've got some questions.
Oh, mate. And you've turned up in full kit as well.
I've turned up in full kit, mate. I've been showing my support. The Parramatta Eels colours. I do have a few jerseys, so, you know, I need to get them out of... Get him out anyway, but look.
What are your questions, Potty?
My questions are more general statements because I don't.
Yeah, go for the statements.
Look, We lost Bailey Simonson after 2 minutes, and he was clearly, quite clearly whacked in the head by a swinging arm from Jerome Luai, who was not sent off but put on report.
But you would think the judiciary would deal with that effectively, so that sort of negates your statement there, wouldn't you?
Which they didn't. They didn't deal
with
it.
What do you mean?
They didn't give him any suspension whatsoever.
Oh, sorry, I forgot about that.
That's right, that's right. So you didn't forget it all. You knew exactly what happened.
Look, guilty.
It's...
Yeah.
Obviously, this is speaking from a Para fan point of view, but it ruined the game. They were bragging about all night. The commentators were just frothing over Penrith's ability to be able to put pressure on and keep that vice on, which they've been so famous of. Every time they were in trouble, they just shifted to their right-hand side, and Isaac Tago made a break against a second rower slash middle who shouldn't have been out there. Look, what I will say about it is, okay, if that's the standard... If that's the standard, fine. I'm okay with that. But if next week, Para get a player sent to the sin bin or sent off for something very similar, then I'm going to be furious.
Yeah. And you know that's going to happen.
Well, this hasn't been the standard that's been set over the last couple of years. It's been, no, the onus is on the defender. You throw an arm. It doesn't matter if he's slipping. If you throw a swinging arm, there will be consequences. I saw it and I went, oh, he's off. He might get sent here, but he's definitely going to the sin bin. And it was...
Well, it has been a stock standard sin bin for the last two seasons at least.
Yeah, and so nothing's been addressed about it. It's just been an absolute debacle. So that was my big issue.
Look, I agree. I think we're just... Yep, I think they got it right.
Oh, that'll do. Of course you do. But Parramatta hung in there, lost by 8 points in the end.
Yeah.
A couple of other points of controversy, which seem to have just been flipped over in the media for some ridiculous reason. Dylan Edwards' first try. Isaiah Yeo was clearly downtown. He ran through to get out of the way.
Yeah, he was down the plaza, mate, doing some shopping.
Mate, he was downtown.
Penrith Plaza. Now,
they've been picking at it. All year long, but this is what.
He's
basically shaking hands with the cameraman. He's that far downtown.
But this is what happens when they have this little push towards a rule that everybody goes, "Oh shit, I didn't even realise that was a rule."
Yeah,
and they make a big deal about it, and then you know you realise that it may come into play far more than the referees had considered when they sat there at their luncheon and made that change.
Exactly, and I don't think that. What Isaiah Yeo did anything wrong. He didn't advantage Penrith to scoring the try. He was just getting out of the way. But according to the
rules... That's what they've been calling so far.
That's what they've been calling. And again, later in the second half, Sean Russell dropped what appeared to be stone cold, but it was actually a balk from one of the...
That was littered throughout the weekend though, wasn't it?
I think the balk, you should be able to balk. I don't care.
I don't have it, but they've been calling it.
Yeah, that's right.
But then there was inconsistencies across the weekend.
So as a Parramatta fan who was pretty happy with the effort that put in, it's always a really good game against Penrith. I thought we were deprived an opportunity to win that game. And I from the second minute, and even then, we did enough to win it, but there were two... And there's been nothing said about it. There's been no comeback and say, oh, you know, we got this wrong or anything like that.
Oh, no, they don't do that.
The only thing I was happy about was for the first time in 11 seasons, Brad Arthur actually had a complaint. So first time I've ever heard him have a crack. So,
well.
Yeah.
Rightio, my first headline. It's a long way to the top if you want four in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Panthers, and I'll be honest, Panthers got away with one against the Eels. It was probably one of those matches where, me as a fan, I just look at it and go, look, could have easily lost it. Would have been a poor start to be 0-2, but we got away with one. Hopefully, when you look at our filthy draw,
it's a tough draw.
Week 1-6, I think we have to take everything with two hands, and I'm not going to sit here and moan about it, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I would have taken it as well. I will say, final little whinge, it's games like that where a team like Penrith, who is so good, so brilliant, no one could ever knock them over the last 4 years, it's games like that where people think referees come in with a preconceived idea about who should be on top.
Yeah, and we'll get into that a little bit further when we talk about the judiciary.
Oh, here we go.
Rightio, mate. I'm going to go with a bit more footy on the field. Wars left disappointed. Newcastle look good, look sharp, but both teams are still 0-1. I think that's probably my two surprising. I tipped the Wars to beat Melbourne. I wasn't confident in tipping them, but I think, you know, in terms of their form coming into the season, to start 0-2, I think they'll be a bit disappointed.
Yep.
It's obviously, it's only early. There's no, you know, and it's the same with the Rabbitohs as well. Obviously, big expectations. New signing, Jack Whiten hasn't played yet.
Yep.
So, but also to Newcastle. Like Newcastle, they were so good in that first half against the Cowboys. But to come back, lose 21-20, you know, I think it's super disappointing for Adam O'Brien and the Knights. On the back of those two, you know, they were probably caught at the start by the Raiders and had their pants pulled down at home. But then to come out and respond like they did in the first half against the Cowboys, but to no avail, it would be very, very disappointing for those sides.
Definitely. Look, touching on the Warriors, they were up after 10 minutes against the Sharks. It was the Warriors by how many, and obviously they got run down and then they didn't come out. Well, they did come out, but they were comprehensively played off the park in the first half against Melbourne, down 18-6, and then came out and put in 30 of the best minutes you'll see. I imagine Andrew Webster, Warriors coach, he's not focusing on the last 5 minutes or 3 minutes of the game. Couple of cracking tries. Tip your lid, say too good. Yeah. You don't even worry about them. You worry about the first 40 minutes where you got yourself in a position where you were down 18-6.
Yeah.
That's where you really lost that game, and that's what's concerning, because you did so well to get back into it. Against the good teams like Melbourne, that's going to be a rarity. If you're down 18-6, forget about it. Yeah. Newcastle, I'm a little bit more worried if I'm Newcastle fans. From the point of view, there's always going to be big raps on them because of the way they finished last season. But so often you see a team that goes on a run in rugby league and finishes the season winning 9 or 10 of their last... They might have won 10 of the last 10. It's very hard to manufacture that again.
Yeah.
My concern is Kalyn Ponga. He is an absolute superstar. He won the Dally M Player of the Year last year on the back of that streak. My concern is, though, he's really struggling to find his... find a way to be effective when it's not going for him.
But is that a lot to do? Because I've noticed even in the early phases, like Dane Gagai is a very unique centre in the way he plays. But Bradman Best hasn't had any good quality ball in the first two matches.
No.
So, and that's really an option. Like they've got obviously some really damaging edge forwards who can hit that line. But obviously getting Bradman Best good early ball takes having those edge back rowers hitting that line and being options really takes the pressure off Kalyn, so he can, you know, play eyes up footy as opposed to sort of, you know, everything going through Kalyn like it appears to at the moment.
I think Kalyn needs to find himself being more effective in his own territory and in the middle of the field, like your James Tedesco does, like your Dylan Edwards does. They're busy even when things aren't going their way. And I
suppose that comes from the perspective, sorry to jump in there, is the fact that, you know, he's very good when he's unpredictable, Kalyn.
Yeah.
But when you're playing that sweeping play, I mean, Matt Moylan did it for a while there where, you know, he was very damaging, but then defensive lines just adjusted. They shifted. They saw it coming. Yeah. So you're really, it's an opportunity there for Kalyn to mix it up. And, you know, if he can come through the middle, especially on tired rucks, damaging.
And even just taking some really tough hit-ups when he needs to on a few more regular occasions. We know he's tough enough. He's done it in the middle at origin level and been a star. So the question of his toughness isn't there for me. Oh, no. It's his chin. Yeah.
I mean, let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
You know, if he gets a fluff on the chin, you know, he's had some issues.
Maybe
that's a confidence thing for himself, or maybe that's a coaching thing where Adam O'Brien's saying, "Hey, I don't want you getting around and getting dirty at this point in time. You know, it'll come."
Yeah, so, it could be as well. It could be as well. Mm. And South Sydney, just touching on them very quickly. Look, they're missing Jack Whiten and Campbell Graham. So that's two pieces of strikeout wide. You put that in those teams, and I think you're seeing in that team, sorry, and I think you're seeing a better outfit.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, the daggers are out though. I mean, I've even seen today recently. So Josh Mansour as he's done the podcast with James Graham. So they're obviously chopping that up now. So it's crazy how the NRL media works, that they've chopped it up and they've just gone, oh, well, Souths are 0-2. Everything's, you know, falling off on its face.
Yeah, they're gone.
So let's start putting in clips and let's stir a bit of, you know, obviously his issues with Jason Demetriou when he finished up there and the like. Obviously today, Lachie Elias.
He's going to be dropped.
Yeah, and I mean, what was my call at the start of the
year? That was your fault. You ring me up and you apologise. Sorry, Lachie, I've done you.
Oh, mate. And the kiss of death. Yeah. I mean, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Anybody who's not a South fan.
Mate, the second you said that, I went and put $50 on him, New South Wales Cup Player of the Year.
Oh, mate. Yeah. He's going to have a big year, I tell you.
You're right.
Yeah, he might have a big year in bloody Ron Massey Cup. anyway, mate, so moving on. So, going back to, and we just brushed over it, obviously, Xavier Coates' try, mate.
Oh.
That is one, like, obviously I missed that tip, but it's the one where you just go, what do you do? That's just class.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's just.
You've been more in this environment than me, mate. Like, would the coach even worry about it in the video session? That doesn't come up, does it?
No.
No. That's a, well, boys, I can't tell you how to better defend
He jumped
that.
From 5 metres out.
Yeah.
And he's just that good, and they obviously train it.
Yeah,
you know, they're in the gym. So those who may not have seen it before, they're training in gymnastic centers.
Yeah, they've got mats out and they're
practicing this stuff. And you know, we're going to see some rippers. That won't be the last.
Yeah, Dallin did everything he possibly could.
Yeah,
it was just too good.
Now, speaking about that of a play. It cost me my tip, so I was bitter. It was a great play.
Yep.
Take my hat off to it. But the commentary around it of being the greatest play in rugby league history, where are you at with that?
No. It was a spectacular...
Do we go a little early as rugby league fans?
It was a spectacular display of athleticism. But, you know, like, we love doing it, don't we? Liam Martin got absolutely belted in one of the biggest shots you've ever seen.
Yeah, it was a great shot.
Then just got up and...
the problem is the person who hit him came off worse.
That's right. But people calling him the toughest bloke ever to play rugby league, well, Johnny Sattler might have something to say about that, you know. Like,
Cement Gillespie. Do you realise they called him Cement?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
What?
But anyway...
Here we go.
Got another question. Rightio. So the question, mate. So on the back of Xavier Coates' try, it was a cracker, and just the talk around the water cooler and the Twitter sphere and all that sort of stuff being about it being the greatest play in sports history, you know, just we've never seen anything like it. So I thought what we would do for the question today is the greatest match-winning plays of all time.
Oh, okay.
Last man standing or last play standing, sorry. So I'm going to give you some plays.
Yep.
And you've just got to hold on to which one you believe is the better match-winning play of all time. You ready to go?
I've got this.
Okay, so I'm going to start. It's going to be all sports, but rugby league's going to get a good shake here early. Rightio. So we're starting with Xavier Coates's match-winning try against the Warriors.
Yep.
Next up, we've got Adam Reynolds' try versus the Chooks. Last-minute play under the post.
Xavier Coates.
Morgan to Kyle Furl, grand final.
It's got to be Kyle Furl, grand final.
George Gregan tackle on Jeff Wilson, 94.
George Gregan, that was unbelievable.
John Eales, goal kick, Bledisloe.
John Eales, because it might have been the last Bledisloe we won.
Michael Bevan, four on the last ball.
Michael Bevan, four on the last ball.
Adam Scott's playoff victory at the Masters.
Bevan.
Bevan.
Yeah.
Kieran Perkins, lane eight.
Kieran Perkins.
The wing keel, Benny Lexon in the America's Cup.
Oh, you got to go to the America's Cup.
John Aloisi, shootout goal to get us to the World Cup in 06.
John Aloisi.
And finally, we've got Cathy Freeman, 2000 Olympics 400.
You couldn't go past Cathy Freeman.
We've got one more, sorry. Jamie Ainsco for hitting Craig Smith in the head and winning the first grand final ever for the Melbourne Storm.
Oh, sorry, Cathy. Jamie Ainsco. Oh, that was a ripper. Oh. That was a ripper. We've had some moments, haven't we?
Oh, mate. So when people make comments like, that's the greatest play of sport, yeah. It's like, just take a deep breath.
Yeah, that's
take a deep breath. Oh, rightio, mate. What else we got?
Okay, so Spencer cops 8 weeks. Or was that Luai, the Tongan?
Oh, mate.
Yeah, so...
You're going to have to explain this. This is a debacle, isn't it?
So I believe when we were the podcast 2 weeks ago, we spoke about Spencer Linu, and at that stage he hadn't pled guilty, I don't believe, but basically he came out and he pled guilty to what he said on the field against the Broncos in Vegas, towards Ezra Mann. Okay, so he's pled guilty, and so he's gone to the judiciary last week on Tuesday, I believe. And the judiciary has decided to give him an 8-week ban for that. Okay?
Yeah.
So, basically, that's how it's gone. But during that process, the league council for the NRL has referred to him as Spencer Luai.
Mm.
Yeah. And he's referred to him as a Tongan international.
Yeah. You got to get those right.
So, his name's Spencer Linu. So Luai is the... his former teammate, and he plays for Samoa, not for Tonga.
Yeah.
You are hitting someone with a very big punishment, and you're almost in... you're doing that in a way that is very... am I wrong? Is it similar to what he actually did?
It's where you tie yourself in knots. In society, we're very, very good at this point in time.
We are.
Where I could have easily just sat there and responded with you, your Tong and Samoan, are they all look the same?
Mm.
You know, but that's exactly what we're talking about. That cultural insensitivity.
Yeah.
And when we make a big deal out of things that at that time, Spencer.
Yeah.
He believed, oh, I didn't think it was a really big deal.
That was his argument. He said, I didn't realise that I was going to be...
And then you, in that judicial process,
yeah.
make insensitive remarks to someone like that. We just end up, and this is where we go as society.
Yeah.
We just end up bickering and picking little things out of everybody's arguments, and then we just go around in circles spinning.
Yeah, well, Spencer would be in the position where he's sitting there going, well, hang on, that's... not like that doesn't make me feel fantastic. You haven't
if he had Harvey Specter,
yeah.
he would have jumped straight on that.
Oh, Harvey Specter would have been all over.
We're going to throw that one out.
Yeah. Look, I'm not suggesting that the lead counsel didn't make a mistake. I'm not suggesting for a second that it was a deliberate thing. But when you are going to slap someone with a very big punishment for the reason you were going to, you can't be making that mistake.
Mm. Well, I think the comments that have nailed it for me. So there was an issue recently with just this weekend. So in New South Wales Rugby League to launch an investigation after a coconut slur was made in the Dragons game. I believe this was a Harold Matthews Cup game.
Righto.
So a St. George Dragons player is accused Illawarra Steelers player of calling him a coconut. And this comes from Ethan Chalk from Zero Tackle. And then obviously it comes on the back of Spencer Linu being charged with his slur on Ezra Mam. And then obviously Hamole Olakuwatu has come out and said, look, you know, growing up being called a coconut, that was just the norm for me.
Mm.
You know, so Trent Robinson has stepped in as well. And he said something similar to that, where he's just gone, well, you know, you're talking about somebody and you're putting him in a position. You're saying that a man of colour who grew up in a very, very tough environment out in Western Sydney in Mount Druitt, you're essentially, by running him through this ringer of charges, you are saying, you are accusing him of being the most heinous thing we could think of, a racist.
Yeah.
Whereas you think about what he comes from, there is no way in the world he could possibly be a racist, because a racist is somebody who degrades others and brings them down as a result of their race.
Yeah.
I mean, Robbo's nailed it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really accuse him of being that most heinous thing, you know, and then go through a system where you're then making comments like this. And like, it's just such the optics of it is so poor.
It is. It is. It's just been.
I said it on our last episode. Racism, penis of the week. And this is why.
Yeah.
You know, because nobody wins in it.
No.
Nobody wins. And
I couldn't believe it. It happened in Vegas, but we thought, right, he's pled guilty. They're going to go through the process. That'll be basically a formality now and it'll be done. Yet somehow this has ended up a bigger story.
But if you look at the history of it, and, you know, I know there was issues in the AFL and the like with it, I think there is a there's a bit of a pattern there. You know, it's once this becomes into the public realm, it just explodes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the best way to eradicate that is players don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, but also too, as a society and looking at the issues that we're faced with as a society, we've also too got to be mindful of, you know, making a mountain out of a molehill as well on things.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a fair call as well.
And the truth is somewhere in the middle there.
Somewhere in the middle.
Agree, very good. What else? We got some quick discussion points, mate.
Quick discussion points. This is going back a couple of weeks ago, but I read an article that a report came out that apparently Cameron Munster, you know how he had the groin injury?
Yeah.
He's done it. He slipped in the shower.
Yeah, it's a bit dodgy.
Yeah.
It's a bit dodgy.
I feel like we've seen this film before, mate. Like, yeah. It's wasn't that a bit like Tommy Turbo?
Yeah, so, I mean, no video evidence has come out of Munster racing someone down, what's the river down there, down in Melbourne?
The Yarra.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought I'd bring that one up. We've already been through Jerome Luai, so we'll skip that one and move on to end of an era, mate.
Oh, I just wanted to touch on that because just imagine the hate.
The hate
that's going around in NRL world about the fact that Jerome got off not only on his high tackle, but the trip as well.
Mate, don't get me started again. Don't get me started. I managed to pull back.
but this is more of a Jerome Luai hate.
Mm. Yeah, which is not fair. Like, he's like, if you'd punished him, he would have gone, okay.
Yeah. End of an era, mate, at Manly. Zach Fulton heads to Bradford, mate. So I believe that now means there's no Fultons at Manly.
First time in a very long time.
Mm.
Yep.
And what do we got? Latrell, mate?
Latrell, for fuck's sake, Latrell. So did you catch his post-match interview last Friday night where he's dropped the F-bomb about five times?
Oh, I didn't.
You didn't catch it?
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, so he's dropped the F-bomb about five times. And, you know, there's been two debating sides. I've heard some people talking about, oh, you know, he's... you know, he's just being himself and he's, you know, he's bringing a bit of personality to the game, which we need more of. And then I've heard other people talking about, no, can't be doing that. It's a, you know, there are kids watching, et cetera, et cetera. Look, I can see both sides of it, but at the end of the day, while it is definitely a game for the people, there's corporate money in it.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be doing that.
Yeah. During COVID time, it was the best because Gus Gould, I know his thing on it, I've always heard him say, he said, look, shouldn't have had microphones on there. We've got microphones. They're not going away. Now, secondary to that, when we had COVID times, and especially in the Premier League, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Because you heard everything that these blokes were saying, and it is outrageous some of the shit that they're saying on that field.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be to each other, to the referees,
all that sort of stuff.
Even the coaches just ripping into professional athletes is hilarious.
Yeah, I love it.
But there is a thing where for post-match, you've got to expect that the audience is, and people argue, oh, it's 10 o'clock at night, this, that. It doesn't matter.
No.
Okay, so Latrell, you can do and say whatever you want in the dressing sheds. You can do and say whatever you want on the field within reasoning. You don't really – you've got to understand that the ref's mic's going to pick things up.
Yeah.
So you're going to tiptoe around that. But you know, there needs to be an etiquette when it comes to press conferences and post-match interviews.
Certainly does.
But simple as that. I don't think it's too much to argue about that.
I reckon Gus is a very smart football mind, but I love the microphones out there.
Oh, yeah, that's not going away.
Yep. Yeah. And when they mic up the players as well, Willie Mason's got a cracker from about 10 years ago.
He was playing
at Newcastle. It was absolutely gold.
Mm.
But anyway, mate.
Mate, streams, mate. Obviously, being sick as a dog the last week.
You've been on.
I've actually had a little bit of time on my hands to watch some Netflix.
Yep.
Mate, NASCAR finished that one up. That was an absolute ripper.
Loved it?
Yeah. I think I might actually watch a bit of NASCAR now. It's done the same with the Formula One.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so it's a really, really interesting and, you know, just the way they go in it. They're all loaded.
Yeah.
All loaded as shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, obviously, Full Swing. Season 2.
Yeah, I've caught a little bit of full swing. Loving it. And we're in a major season now. Yeah. We've had the players. Yeah. So I've watched a little bit of Full Swing as well. I love the inside. And, you know, I can't help but watch an episode and think, geez, I can play golf now.
Yeah. I actually was watching a bit of the players yesterday. And my four-year-old was like, can we go outside and play golf? I was like, it's 6 in the morning.
No, can't do it.
Yet. Not yet. Yeah. But we did eventually go out there and hit some balls.
6:30.
Yeah. When the grass dries a bit. Rightio, mate. We'll keep going. Bit of all sports, mate. Rightio. So, a bit of fight talk going around, mate. Some big news in the fight game. There was a little UFC card on yesterday. Big Tai Tuivasa. He had a fight against Machin Taibura. Okay, got that one right. Look, it was a disappointing loss. He got submitted in the first round. He came out and just did Tai. Threw heavy leather. Look, I think it's a bit of a career-defining time for Tai Tuivasa now. I mean, he's always going to be willing to fight.
Yeah.
But really what you're looking at now is you look head towards the top of the division.
Yep.
Inside the top 10, which he'll probably now fall out of.
Yep.
Or he'll be on the fringes of. You know, are you willing to put in the work to beat those guys? Versus are you willing to continue to be the fan favourite and knock the skin out of people?
Yeah.
You know, so it's a really tough time for Tai. Does he want to go for that championship level fighting?
Yeah.
Which is going to, you know, demand so much of him, or is he, you know, happy to put some blokes out and do a shoey on the cage? Yeah. I mean, that's pretty enticing.
That's pretty enticing.
You know, it's really hard career-wise, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
well, you know, because there's a massive difference between being the fan favourite and being a title contender.
That's right. I mean, could he make some pretty good scratch just with the fan favourite angle as well?
Oh, well, the UFC's going to throw him a bone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he's not going to make, you're not going to make anywhere near as much if you're headlining pay-per-views.
No.
Yeah. But, you know, you've got to be willing to do the work.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. So I think it's, watch this space.
Yep.
I mean, I'm happy either way. I love watching him fight. It's great. But, looking forward at sort of maybe fighters a bit, you know, getting a taste a bit early. So Steve Erzeg, this will be his fourth UFC fight, flyweight, Steve Erzeg. He recently had a win. He's got a title shot against Alexandre Pantoja.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a bit concerned about this. Like, Steve's a great fighter coming up.
Yeah.
But to throw him to Pantoja, I mean, it's a massive jump.
Too early?
I think it is too early, but it's an opportunity for Steve. And Steve's like, oh, this opportunity might never come around again.
Well, he's not going to say no and say, oh, no, I'll bide my time for another 2 years. And then injuries just falls out of favour. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's taking the opportunity, UFC 301.
Yep.
But, I mean, you'd go, look, 2 years' time, you think of a Steve, he might be at the point where he's going knocking down the door.
Yeah.
But, you know, but crazier things have happened, that's for sure. Muhammad Mokaev, he was, you know, the British fighter. He's he's shown disappointment in the fact that he didn't get the nod over Steve.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, in his last fight, like, he was very underwhelming.
Mm,
you know, Steve knocked a bloke unconscious, and Muhammad Mokaev got a well-deserved unanimous decision. But, you know, he wasn't dominant in the wrestling, which we'd expect. He was, you know, facing up in the stand-up. There was, it was a bit of back and forward. So it really shows fighters there that, you know, at the end of the day, your last performance is going to matter.
Yep.
So when the decision maker's there, I mean, if you look at, you know, the skill sets and you look at, you know, the betting line, you're going, well, Muhammad Mokaev should have got that shot.
Yeah, okay.
But the most recent performance is what has determined who was getting the shot.
Yeah,
is,
okay.
Yeah, and that's the way the UFC does their things. Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, mate.
Yeah, so this has been getting a lot of press lately. I've been in more recent days. Don't know if you've caught them. I assume you have. Mike Tyson's put out a few clips of him training.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, very short stints and spells, but, geez, I tell you what, it looks like he can still throw them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you don't lose that muscle memory.
No,
but
no.
But he's... it's an interesting one. So I haven't... There hasn't been confirmation on whether it's exhibition. There hasn't been confirmation on, you know, rounding, rule sets, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. It's happening, though.
It's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, and it's going to be on Netflix.
Yeah.
So if you've got Netflix, you're going to watch it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the numbers will be massive if it's on Netflix.
Oh, it'll be an absolute huge.
It's going to be huge. But I just don't... I like Jake Paul, and I like, you know, his mindset of, you know, fuck everyone, doesn't matter.
Yep.
I'm just going to do me. However, he can't win.
No.
Because if he gets beaten by Mike Tyson, everybody's going to go, you're a fake boxer, you're rubbish, 57-year-old Mike Tyson beat you. But if he beats Mike Tyson...
You're beating up a 57-year-old man.
But it's Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Well, like, you cannot win. No. Like, Mike Tyson is beloved.
Yeah, he is.
You know, in the world. Like, everyone loves Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, oh, I mean, fair play, Jay. You're going to cash a massive bag. But, I mean, there's no way you can win that. And he's probably sitting there going, yeah, I knew that. I don't care.
Well, that's been Jake Paul's calling card, hasn't it? He's been like, oh, yeah. Righto. I'm happy to go with that. Yeah, yeah, it is what it is. Him and his brother have basically made a fortune off that, haven't they?
But I'm keen as mustard for that, mate. I think it'll be fascinating. I obviously, you know, I'll be interested to see how it's going to look and because I mean, the Mike Tyson Roy Jones Jr. sort of sparring match was, you know, it was what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think the fans are, especially with where Jake Paul is at his career, are going to buy that.
But Netflix, they've got the fight. There's going to be docos around this left, right, and center well. We're going to be feeding off this for, you know, years, mate.
But it's also, too, for a lot of sports, it's a heads up. It's a, you know, Netflix have got the WWE.
They've got, yeah. They're
so they're the looking into game. This. They're looking at this fight. So it's they're on their way to live sport.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for sporting leagues, when Netflix starts turning up, I mean, it could be payday.
So you're talking about the next TV rights deal for something like rugby league. You might have somebody else coming in saying hello.
You might have Netflix coming in to challenge KO and Fox.
Look, if you need some commentators.
We're here.
We're available.
I'll have to try and get rid of this cough first, though.
Well, exactly.
It's absolutely killing me. All righty, mate. I'm back.
He's back, just. Scotty Scheffler goes back-to-back at the Players. So,
Scotty Stifler.
So I'm pretty sure I read today that he's the first player to go back-to-back at the Players. So pretty impressive. And he stormed home. And he ended up winning by a shot. A bit of a, you know, felt for a Wyndham Clark.
Yeah.
Did you see what happened here?
Yeah. So we've just watched Full Swing.
Yeah.
We've indulged ourselves with how Wyndham has just changed his life around his mindfulness.
Yeah.
And how, you know, having a mental coach is just, it's taken him to the next level.
Yeah, well, that
and then he sinks one right in the piss.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's exactly, we all felt it.
Yeah.
Because we've all done it.
Yeah. How did it miss? Yeah, that mental coach is earning double time at the moment, pulling him out of this one. But yeah. He might not be able to afford it, Greco, because
it's a big drop in pay.
Effectively, that shot cost him $1.75
million. Well, the way Xander Schauffele was playing and Scotty Stifler's come home,
yeah,
you can't really say that that was that shot. But
Well, you can, because somebody did.
Yeah. There you go.
Anyway, no, you're right, mate. You know, he was.
He didn't have the best Sunday, regardless.
No,
was Saturday.
Yeah. But he would argue he sinks that one. He's in all playoff, and I'm pretty sure.
Well, no. So that was Saturday. He's had a rough round. So he's gone into the clubhouse, dirty. A stroke down.
Yeah.
Whereas he could have, you know, been in the lead.
Yeah.
And then obviously that's just flowed into to Sunday, where he's had a good round, not the best round, especially when, you know, someone like Scotty Scheffler, you know, who you know, he can turn up on a Sunday.
Yep.
We've seen it in the past.
And he's done it.
Mm.
Is he a front runner for the major?
I think Scotty Scheffler will be there or thereabouts again all season.
Yeah, he's going to be thereabouts. He's missed a consistency there, still only picking up the one major at the moment. But, you know, I think you beat him, he's going to finish top five.
But isn't it just fascinating how much of the coverage is just on Rory's chase? It's almost like watching the Cronulla Sharks try and win a premiership again. Like, you know, to try and get his major again. Like, Rory is... you know, one of the best. Like, he's constantly ranked at number one in terms of just his consistency, tournament in, tournament out. But just, I mean, everyone, what is going to happen when he does get that major again?
Yeah, well, similar to what happened in 2019 when Tiger got that major after 11 years out in the wilderness. Like, it's nearly been that long for Rory.
Wilderness, some would say. Oh, others would suggest that he might have been in a room with red lights on. I mean, allegedly.
Is it? Or yeah. Anyway, we'll go with allegedly.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love this time of year, mate. We're about to head into Augusta. You know, the bit of Christmas in the air. Yeah. Like, it's just sport left, right, and centre. Soon we're going to be getting the tennis majors on Wimbledon and the French Open.
The European season takes over.
Yep.
Rightio, Grego's headline of the week. The player's going to play. And that was all about the players. But anyway, that was your headline as well. So Scotty Stifler taking over the championship, and we'll tie a bow in that, mate.
Yep.
Like you said, mate, looking forward to the golf to come.
Presenting the
I left us on mute.
Yeah.
Here we are. Rightio, the internet is undefeated, mate. The first one that I've got. Rightio, I might just put it in so that our wonderful listeners and viewers
can see what we've got for them.
See what we're doing.
Mm.
Rightio. So I'll just restart the capture. Here we go.
Here we go, guys.
Rightio, so the first one that I've got is a little bit of soccer, mate. Have you seen this one? Have a look at this, a bit of blow soccer.
Wow.
Yeah, good's that?
Yeah, that's something.
I mean, imagine getting that going in a PE lesson.
Oh.
I mean...
Yeah, the kids at the back look like they're having a fantastic time.
Yeah, I mean, I would be in trouble in this game at the moment. My cough is just letting me down. Here we go.
Lung capacity is a bit low. Come on.
There we go. Goal it is. Rightio. That's not the only thing, mate. It looks like it at the moment.
It's all right. We're nearly there. Stick with us, guys.
Here we go. Police officers, mate. Have you ever been like... You know, you'd think about as a police officer, like, you confiscate a motorbike in the middle of a built-up city and you're just like, you know what, I'm just going to give it some.
Yeah. Well,
this bloke had that exact same idea, mate. Have a look at this
guy. Oh, no. Oh, he's gone.
Oh,
he's gotten straight back up. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that is pride that's got him back up there.
Hell yeah, you motherfucker. Oh, mate, that is so good.
That was so good. Was that the highlight of that gentleman's mate, year?
Absolutely. Like, let's watch it again.
Oh, this is a ripper. Oh, no.
Here he goes. Oh, that is so good.
Oh, he's enjoying himself. That, I'm telling you, that hurt. He'd taken some skin off.
Oh, mate, absolutely. I mean, his head just smashed into the ground. Rightio, final one, mate, is Waiters, mate, taking the piss. How good is this one for a stitcher? Yeah. So he's got played on a string. How good is this? Mate. Got the hot tea. Ah!
Barely reacted then.
Oh, that is good.
Gotta get myself one of those.
Mate, that's fantastic.
Oh, happy days, mate. Happy days.
Rightio, so as always, the internet is undefeated. Send through your videos, guys, if you got anything, at Sports Detention on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. Get them through to us, and, hopefully we'll get them on the show for you.
We love it. We love it.
Rightio, mate.
Where are we up now, mate? Are we up to punting season?
It is punting season. What'd you get, mate?
Mate, I didn't get on the punt this weekend, and I definitely wasn't betting on rugby league after my first round 2 from 8, but I should have, mate, because I had 7 from 8 last week, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should have bet, didn't bet. Gamble responsibly.
Mate, for my multi, the old obstruction cost me dearly. Valentine Holmes missed out on his anytime try scorer, mate, and I would have doubled up on the back of a Raiders. Abby Corris, our double as well.
How didn't he score?
Because his forward decided to run into the defensive
line. Yep, that'll do it.
Yeah, so that cost me dearly. But anyway, on to the next one. Gamble responsibly.
Gamble responsibly.
Rightio, mate. Penis of the week. What do we got?
Mate, I had to go with the NRL judiciary. I just thought the way that whole Spencer Leno issue was handled was very poor.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm going to have to go with Sam Kerr.
Yep.
Same thing. Racism again.
Yep.
Yeah, Sam Kerr, come on. Anyway, yeah, penis of the week, Sam Kerr. Anything else, mate, Dad, before we finish? It's been a rough one.
Mate, like, it's been rough.
We've battled through.
You've battled on. You weren't going to miss the 50.
No.
So.
No.
Yeah, thanks for sticking with us and get around us on the socials. You want us to talk about something on the show?
Yeah, get around us, let us know.
Yeah.
Rightio, mate.
Spread the word, footy season's back. Yeah. Anyone who likes talking about a bit of footy, where the avenue for you?
Rightio. No penis of the week, Dad, here in the chat. Yep, no penis of the week, Dad. Anyway, so moving on.
Mm.
Ladies and gentlemen, for all our listeners out at Cessnock, home of the Gowanus, we say good night
and farewell.